Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
As ugly of a meltdown as we have seen over a two-game stretch in NBA history, that was an absolutely brutal weekend for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Guess who it wasn't a brutal weekend for?
You and the Lakers.
There you go. Oh, don't gloss God. Over the Lakers.
You couldn't give us 8 seconds to get into the show without mentioning them.
No.
How much of your sermon yesterday were the Lakers a part of as you gave a sermon?
Surprisingly enough, I was able to work Bron Bron and the Lakers.
Oh, I knew you would.
But you knew it was going to happen.
It is Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Let's roll.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
The Boston Celtics 112 and the Philadelphia 76ers 88.
We felt like we were the better team and we dropped some games early in the series. And tonight, the crowd got behind us. We guarded our ass off and we came out and was able to get a little storm going and they couldn't recover.
Celtics just rolled, just absolutely destroyed the Sixers in the second half yesterday in Boston. And that was a version of the long goodbye in that second half. And Canty, I have to tell you, after what happened in Game 6, the Sixers just unable to get it done at home, you knew they were not going to have a chance on Sunday afternoon up in Boston, and as a result, they are headed home. And Canty, the blame game, there is so much to go around. I'm going to start. He doesn't deserve the biggest part of the blame, but I'm going to start with the centerpiece in Joel Embiid, who was absolutely atrocious in Game 7 yesterday. That's as bad as you can play, especially when you are an MVP.
Yeah, when you're wearing the crown, you're going to get a lot of the blame when things don't go right, and that's why everybody is looking at JoJo today. Now, I don't think that there's a Sixers fan out there, including our very own Cam Pratt, that is looking at Embiid as more of the problem than the solution. But the reality is you need him to step up in an elimination game on the road. He's got to be the one to set the tone. And to his credit, he actually did that in the first quarter. But the remaining three quarters is where the Sixers got into trouble, particularly in that third quarter when the Boston Celtics go on an 18-0 run across 6.5 minutes. At some point, your MVP player has to step up and make the plays to swing momentum back in your team's favor. But he was a no-show at that moment in the game. The same with James Harden, who was absolutely awful yesterday.
Yep.
Not only 3 of 11 shooting, but the 5 turnovers, just the, you know, not handling the ball well and not being able to orchestrate the offense. But to me, when you start to talk about the Embiid aspect of it and holding him accountable for yesterday's performance or lack thereof, he's got to be more impactful in those pivotal moments, and we didn't see that in the third quarter, and that ultimately cost him the game.
In the playoffs as a whole, he wasn't bad in the playoffs as a whole, but Canty, during the regular season, in winning the MVP, Embiid averaged 33 points a game.
Yeah.
In the postseason, he averaged 23, and that is the biggest drop-off for an MVP in postseason history. For a player that won that award.
Now, in all fairness, JoJo was dealing with the knee injury.
He was, but I don't want to hear it.
We have to acknowledge that.
I don't want to hear it because every year he's dealing with some different injury and he's on the court and they're not winning. But he is not part of the problem in the grand scheme. You're right. He's part of the solution. Doc Rivers is not part of the solution.
Hell no.
And James Harden is not part of the solution because while James Harden had a couple of big games, Canty, you can't have 40 in one game and then come back and give me 9 points in a game 7. That was a typical James Harden meltdown in a game 7.
I'm going to push back on that one a little bit, big fella. The Doc Rivers part, we're aligned on. The James Harden aspect of it, at this stage in his career, you're talking about a guy that's closing in on his mid-30s. I don't know that you can expect to get more from James Harden than what you saw across this series. Now, maybe you'd like to see the valleys not be as low because this guy had 4 games in which he had 4 field goals or less in this series.
Absurd.
Ain't but 7 games in the series. So you'd like to see those valleys not be as low. But I can point to 2 games where the Sixers won in this series because of James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Game one, without Embiid, they won because of Harden. 45 points, including the dagger at the end. Game four, they won because of Harden, nailing that corner three. Like, that sent it in overtime. They won that game because of Harden.
The problem is I can point to games that they lost because of him, too.
But I guess my point is this. I can't point to any games in this series and say, the Sixers won that game because of Joel Embiid. And he's the MVP. I can say that about James Harden. So maybe James Harden as your secondary option isn't a championship formula for Philadelphia, but I do think there is a world where James Harden can continue to be a part of this team moving forward and they can reach higher heights. I do see that.
A 76ers 13th straight playoff appearance falling short of the conference finals. So what has to change? Here's Joel Embiid.
It's going to take, you know, more than us. We all got to look at ourselves. I got to be better and I will be better. That's what I'm focused on. All of us. We got to, you know, come back and find ways to just keep improving and, you know, help the team. You can't win alone. I can't win alone. I can't. Me and James, we just can't win alone. You know, that's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, you know, we just need everybody to just try to keep finding ways to get better and, you know, we'll be fine.
We'll have more on where they're going from here from a personnel standpoint in a minute. But let's get to the coach. Doc Rivers is 17-33 in closeout games in his career.
Say that again.
17-33. Canty, that's not a 340 winning percentage. That is more like a 660 losing percentage.
I got a better one for you. Doc Rivers lost 10 game sevens in his career as a head coach. Wow. Five more than any other coach.
And five straight.
And five straight. There's that too. Think about that. Like the next closest coach in terms of number of losses in Game 7 is Pat Riley.
Think about how many
championships Pat Riley got. You see what I'm saying? Like the part about Doc Rivers and not wanting to blame him for what happened with this series, I don't understand where folks are coming from. We were talking about Doc being on the hot seat going back to last year's playoffs.
Yeah.
And coming in this year with the MVP, there were no excuses as to why Doc and the Sixers couldn't at least make a push to get to the conference finals. And the fact that they were up 3-2 with Game 6 in their building, a lead going into the fourth quarter, Jason Tatum having an all-time bad performance, the worst performance in his NBA career through three quarters, and you lost that game on your home court, that's on the head coach. That ain't on nobody else.
Yep.
So save your excuses for Doc Rivers. I don't want to hear about the team not having enough talent outside of Harden and Embiid and Maxey. I don't want to hear it. You had every opportunity. The Celtics handed you the game on your home court in Game 6. And you didn't take advantage of it.
Since he left the Celtics, after the first round, Doc is 0-9 in potential series clinching games.
Yeah.
0-9. This decision is the easiest one that Sixers ownership is going to have to make.
Yeah.
Because you've got two awesome solutions out there right now.
Monty Williams and Nick Nurse.
Bingo.
Yep.
That can be done by Wednesday. Every part of it can be done by Wednesday. There is one more guy, though, that probably is not getting the heat. And that's Daryl Morey.
Oh, he's getting the heat from me. He might not be getting the heat from you, but he's getting the heat from me.
No. I'm saying across. People have not talked about it.
Is it fair to call the P.J. Tucker experiment a failure?
P.J. Tucker was brought in to be a leader and to add toughness, but he
You're playing
shoot.
4-on-5 on offense.
I agree.
You can't do shoot. It. Like, there's a self-check. Nobody's even guarding him.
I agree.
Him. They had to put in wrinkles where he had to rotate into the dunker spot just because teams weren't guarding him for the corner three, which he became known for down in Houston.
My problem with Daryl Morey is more of the James Harden love in all of this. And I understand that James is still a very good player, and I understand that he can facilitate and all that. I don't want to hear anything about that in the games where he is down. The inconsistency factor, if I want to win a championship, cannot be in my number two player. And let's just call it what it is. Daryl Morey has a very soft spot for James Harden, and I want to be very curious. If Harden can come back and be a number three, if you add another big-time player, that's one thing. But if Harden thinks he's going to get max money, enjoy Houston.
Well, Harden's got a $35 million player option for next season, so we'll see what he does with that. But if he doesn't opt in, I don't think he's going to be with the Sixers because I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. I'm not giving him more money than that. And I get it. We live in an era where guys are signing $60 million contract extensions. But based on where James Harden is in his career, he's going into his age 34 season next season, I don't know that you can give him more than that and field a championship-caliber roster because it's clear to me throughout these playoffs – James Harden can still have his moments where he looks like the MVP he was in Houston. But those are so few and far in between that you got to have a more reliable secondary option to Joel Embiid. That's why you got to go big game hunting this offseason. What will help them is that Tobias Harris is going into the final year of his contract. So it's an expiring contract. It's easier to trade those contracts, even though it's an ugly number. I think it's $39, $40 million. You got to attack some draft picks. You might even have to attach a player that you don't want to give up. But you can move off of Tobias Harris and clear some cap and be able to bring in a guy that can be that more reliable secondary option. We'll have Tim Bontemps on later on in the show. He can kind of go through some of those machinations, those possibilities with us. But it's clear to me that there's a lot of work that needs to be done with this Sixers roster and that them falling short of the conference finals this time, even though a lot of it's on Doc Rivers, you got to pin some of it on the front office.
I think you pin it on Doc. I think you pin it on the front office. I think you pin it on Harden. I think you pin it on Embiid. Whatever percentages you want to dole out, that's up to you. Canty, if they are going to add the guy, I'm just going to throw it out there real quick. There's one guy, and that guy's Dame Lillard.
Ooh!
If Dame Lillard has finally come to the conclusion that he needs to get out of Portland, I think the Sixers have enough to get that done. I think you just outlined a lot of it. That's a younger team. Let's talk about Harris on the expiring contract. Let's talk about Tyrese Maxey. Let's talk about some picks. We're talking about a deal. Dame Lillard in Philly makes him a champion.
And then James Harden as your third option?
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as we're clear, it's a third option.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you wouldn't make it any more clear. Damian Lillard is a top seven, top eight player in the league when he's healthy?
Listen, all I know is James has got his jersey hanging some of those clubs down in Houston.
Dame time in Philly?
It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing. But does James want to go back to Houston? I mean, that's what we've heard too. Who knows?
But Houston, hold on. Well, Houston, according to Stephen A. Smith on Countdown yesterday, they're not interested in James Harden or Max years or Max money.
You know why?
So that might
they're
not
smart.
Be, so that might not be an option for James. And quite frankly, where Houston is in terms of their program building and their roster, James Harden doesn't make sense for them.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. You can watch us on Greeny on the ESPN app. Just click watch, look for Greeny, and enjoy. So, in moments, we hear from you at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Who is most to blame for yet another Sixers meltdown? We ask you and we ask Tim Bontemps, our ESPN NBA insider, that question next. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast, the NBA playoffs.
Three is good. Jason Tatum holds up five with the right and a fist with the left. He's got 51 points.
I was just happy to get another opportunity to bounce back and, you know, find a way to win. Game seven is all about win or go home.
Continuing coverage of the NBA playoffs on Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
It's going to take a while for the Sixers to get over that one.
Yeah, that's going to sting a little bit, big fella.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer. Amazing stuff. Does a great job covering the league and does a great job on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst, Tim McMahon. He actually was hosting today with Wendy on assignment. Tim, we appreciate a few minutes, and let's just start here. Having spent a lot of time around the Sixers at this point, what do you see as their biggest issue as to why they keep coming up short?
It's kind of a weird situation to talk about this year, right? Because obviously yesterday's game was disappointing, losing the way they did. And in particular, James Harden and Joel Embiid playing the way they did. But I don't look at this like, say, 2 years ago when they lost to Atlanta in seven games in the second round and lost to a clearly inferior team that they should have beat and just failed to, right? No one really picked them to beat Boston. They weren't as good as Boston. They, for the most part, played pretty well throughout the series and came up short. Obviously, you know, as Doc Rivers said yesterday, going to think a lot about game six this summer, final 6 minutes in particular when they led by two and then lost. Going to think a lot about game seven this summer. But like, Boston was probably the single worst matchup for Philly in the league. And they lost to them. But I do feel like they were one of the better teams in the league. And if they'd gotten basically any other matchup here, they might have been in the final four in the league pretty easily, right? So it's hard for me to sit here right now and say, well, they've got 100 things wrong with their team, because I think they're in a good spot. I just think that, you know, they could use some more two-way players. They need Harden and Embiid to play better in a game seven than they did yesterday. But it's a really good team and a really good roster that just came up a little bit short against a better team than them. So it's a long-winded way of saying I've had a hard time kind of wrapping my head around what to make of this team throughout this series. If they weren't able to win it, and after yesterday's dud, I'm still sort of in the same place. After what was obviously a very disappointing end to what had, till that point, been a pretty compelling series.
Tim, as we sit here today doing the autopsy on the Philadelphia 76ers season, a lot of fans are trying to play the blame game and figure out who's most at fault for this team not being able to take advantage of having that fourth quarter lead in game six and advancing to the conference finals. So if you're looking at Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, James Harden, who's the figure in all of this that you would put most of the blame for this team not being able to make a deeper playoff run?
I mean, it's probably on all of them to some degree, right? You know, Doc Rivers has obviously had a bunch of losses in closeout games in the past. You know, his team didn't get it done again, as he said yesterday. You know, that's sort of what you sign up for, is the both the praise and criticism that comes with being in those kind of games, whether you win or lose. And James Harden and Joel Embiid were just not good enough, right? I mean, Joel played really well, I thought, games 3-6, coming back from the sprained knee. He was bad in game 7, pretty clearly. And James Harden in this series shot 60% in the team's wins and 22% in its losses. You know, like, you basically knew how the game was going to go by how James was going to play. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's the thing. Like, I don't think there's one person that it's their fault. Like, you know, they had that opportunity, especially the final 6 minutes of game 6, and the whole team's offense fell apart. And everybody that was out there and Doc coaching the team all deserve blame. And, you know, I think Daryl Morey's done a really good job, but the team isn't good enough. And ultimately, it's the results league, and they've made the conference finals, semifinals 5 of the last 6 years, and haven't got by there. And until they do, I think everybody's going to be in the same position, which is sort of not really believing this team can break through till it can, and, you know, just not thinking they're good enough to really do it.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer. Of course, you can catch him on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst. Tim, joining us, it's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Is it a foregone conclusion with Doc at this point that they're going to move on, especially after last year there being some real debate about that?
No, I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, look, I think if you look at the course of the series, I think Doc did a pretty good job. And I don't think it's his fault that James Harden and Joel Embiid combined to have more turnovers than shots or made field goals in game 7, right? Like, those guys needed to show up. But as we've seen in Phoenix, as we've seen in Milwaukee, as we've seen in Toronto, you know, at some point teams decide they need to move on from good coaches, whether it's Nick Nurse or Mike Budenholzer or Monty Williams. And, you know, we'll see what happens in Philly over the next few days. I mean, certainly James Harden, when he was asked, you know, how's your relationship with Doc and do you think he should be back, saying our relationship is okay, I think sort of sums up where his head is at, I think, of the situation. But yeah, I mean, I thought Doc did a good job in this series. They've won more games than they've lost, or they've won more games each of the last 3 years. I think he's done a good job coaching the team, but, you know, we'll see what they decide to do over the next days and weeks, because, you know, ultimately, you know, we'll see. It could be a situation like I said, like those other places where, you know, coaches that have generally done a good job, teams decided they needed to go in another direction.
Talking with ESPN NBA writer Tim Bontemps on Greeny. And Tim, looking at the other side of yesterday's game 7, can you put into words for us what you saw from Jason Tatum yesterday?
Well, I mean, he had a great game. I mean, he came out and finally hit some shots. He hadn't hit a shot in the first quarter of the prior 3 games and came out and scored 11 points and, you know, got himself going. And, you know, the Celtics, when they get out in open air and they're hitting threes, I mean, they're a pretty impossible team to beat. And, you know, Tatum sort of falls into the same category. If he's out in open air and hitting threes and playing with confidence, he looks incredible. And he had a fantastic game in a huge spot. And, you know, obviously, you know, breaking Steph's game 7 record within a couple weeks of him setting it the first time was pretty wild. You know, you're asking me all these questions about, you know, Doc and James and Joel, right? If Jason Tatum doesn't hit a few threes at the end of game 6, but he was truly terrible the first 42 minutes, and, you know, the Sixers just have a few shots roll in that rolled out in the fourth quarter, where we would have been talking on Friday about Jason Tatum completely falling apart in the biggest game of the season, and the Celtics, you know, the team being favored to win, losing to Philly in 6 games.
Hang on a second there, Tim. Let me push back on that for a second, because we had seen Tatum do this last year when he went for 46 against Milwaukee. Yep. I don't know if it would have been as much. So I understand that, but if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas.
Well, no. Well, hold on. You didn't let me finish, so I appreciate it. He would have been destroyed if he went 1-for-17 and they lost game 6 and they lost the series. I don't think there's any question. I don't think people would have said, hey, he had a great game 6 last year, but that was a complete debacle in the biggest game of the season. And all I was going to say was, it shows how quickly these things can turn, right? Obviously, the Celtics made it to the finals last year. obviously Tatum has had these games before. Mm-hmm. They have a better record, a track record than Philly in those spots. It's just a reminder that this thing could flip really fast. And with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of game six, it looked like Jason Tatum was going to be the GOAT in a bad way in that series, and Philly was going to break through. And instead, he got it done when it mattered, got them to game seven, and then dominated game seven. And it went from going one way to going the other way really fast. And that's why Philly is sitting at home today wondering what happened. And it's why Boston is, once again, probably the favorite to win the title. You know, like it can flip that fast if you start to play well in, you know, sort of a targeted period of time. And Jason Tatum, you know, over the last 54 minutes of the series, he stepped up when it really mattered and the Sixers didn't.
Appreciate it, Tim. Great stuff as usual, man. Thanks.
Of course. Talk to you guys soon.
Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA writer, also on the Hoop Collective podcast with Brian Windhorst. Let's give you your chance now at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's start with Buddha up first on ESPN Radio. Buddha, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, you guys know I've been a Sixers fan since the Rockabye Baby days, you know, when we had the real Doc. You understand? And let's keep it real. To channel my inner Bruce Buffer from UFC, you know, it's time. It's time for Doc, but it's also time for Maury. You know, I agree sort of with what Bontemps was saying. You know, it's a collective. But with the players, I mean, you know, you can't get rid of every player. And the whole thing, like you said, the James Harden, listen, anybody who had half a brain knew that that wasn't going to work out. He was in bad shape before he got here. You think he's going to get in better shape? It's ridiculous, man. I want Maury to go, too, because, you know, like I said, I tell you all the time, Cat Daddy, you know, and I know this is your guy, like with Joe Douglas, how many quarterbacks and coaches do you get? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't have Maury hiring another coach. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. And I don't want Monty Williams either, because he seems to me like a guy who's a little bit burnt out. I'd rather have Nick Nurse.
Listen, I can understand that. I think I'll make it work with Monty Williams if he is into coaching right away. He doesn't seem to be a low-energy guy like that. Appreciate it, Buddha. But honestly, it's a fair point about Daryl Morey. It's very fair. And I
here's the part that's unfair. Doc Rivers is his only coach during his tenure with the Sixers.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, like he hadn't had an opportunity to hire another coach. So I think from that vein, if we'd have to get down the line before I'm making the decision solely based on that. Now, what I will say is this. Bontemps was making the point that it shows you how quickly things can change with what happened with Tatum from game six to game seven. But I'll say this. The Sixers fans been waiting for a minute, dog.
Yeah, they don't want to hear about it.
I mean, listen, we're talking about six consecutive years with relatively early playoff exits. Well, now, Doc Rivers has only been a part of half of that. But at some point, you have to look at the head coach and say, is he more part of the solution or part of the problem? Here's the thing. I don't want to put all of it on Doc. He's not the genesis of all the problems.
He's the easiest fix.
But that's my point, though. Like, it's like he's not the solution either.
No.
It's clearly not the solution. So when there feels like an opportunity, when it feels like there's an opportunity for an obvious upgrade in the marketplace with Monty Williams and Nick Nurse, you'd have to think that the brain trust for the Sixers would at least explore the idea.
Ross is up next on ESPN Radio. Ross, what's going on, dude? What do you think?
Hey, I just want to know, Joel Embiid, he has not been to a conference finals. Everybody keeps praising this man, making excuses for this man. I understand Doc Rivers, you know, he ain't got the best playoff records. Morley trusted the process, whatever, and it didn't work. But everybody wanted to get on your
own. Morey wasn't the process. Daryl Morey wasn't the process.
No,
Daryl Morey wasn't the process.
And if we're going to
put it. Not Daryl Morey, but I mean the 76ers.
Yeah, but here's the point. You're going to say it didn't work. That's not accurate to say it didn't work, Ross. Thanks for the call. The process was about we can't get big time player to come here of their own volition. So we have to put ourselves in a spot to draft big-time players, and that's what they did with Embiid. Then they did it with Ben Simmons, and obviously his skill was off the charts, but it didn't pan out. And then they did it with Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum.
Yeah, think about how different the Sixers would be if they took Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz.
And part of the
it would have been different if they took Lonzo Ball over Markelle Fultz. Like, think about how much better they would have been.
They would have won a championship, I think.
If they had Tatum and Embiid to work off of.
They would have won.
Or just think about this. How about let's not get rid of Jimmy Butler because we're afraid of hurting Ben Simmons' feelings?
Which was stupid.
How about that?
Was so stupid.
The Miami Heat are back in the conference finals. What is that, three of the last 4 years? The Miami Heat!
You know, I hate to bring it up. I'm just going to bring it up anyway and make it about me for a second.
What's that?
When I was on down there in Philly, I was screaming before they traded for Butler that, and before Simmons had played a game, that if you're smart, you would trade Simmons for Butler, and I got roundly destroyed for it. How you like me now?
Think about this. The Sixers, The Sixers took Jahlil Okafor in 2015 with the third overall pick.
Yeah.
The Phoenix,
three big men.
The Phoenix Suns took Devin Booker with the 13th pick.
Canty and Carlin.
Think about that. You could have had Devin Booker. You could have had Devin Booker. You could have had Jason Tatum. Everybody's talking about the process. Oh, the process. The process didn't fail. It delivered an MVP. And if they picked the right players with the draft capital that they've had, they would have been in the championship round.
And the NBA forced Brian Colangelo on you.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Greeny, the podcast.
Breaking news with the Memphis Grizzlies have suspended Ja Morant from all team activities after another Instagram live video surfaced apparently showing him with a handgun.
It was easy to defend Ja Morant the first time. You're in a bad spot when you lose the benefit of the doubt. And I think he's lost that.
It is just incomprehensible what Ja Morant did. Again, the exact same thing. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Make sure your family is well taken care of with life insurance. Protect your phones, laptops, and more with electronic device insurance. And cover your furry friends with pet insurance. How do you do the exact same thing again that you did, what, 2.5, 3 months ago, where you go on Instagram Live with a gun, the league suspends you for 8 games, you go on with Jalen Rose, you talk about how you've learned and you're not this person. Well, apparently you are this person. Again, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And through his actions, not his words, Ja Morant has shown us who he is. I mean, it was March 4th. That's 2 months ago, Canty. 2 months ago that incident happened out in Denver.
Yeah, but that was just one in a series of several different incidents where Ja Morant or somebody in his camp was brandishing a firearm when he was around. This is who he is, big fella. And being away from the game for 3 weeks and serving what amounted to an 8-game suspension was not going to curb the behavior. So, I mean, as bad as this is for Ja Morant and as much as I want to hold him accountable, I also got to hold Adam Silver, the commissioner of the league, the Memphis Grizzlies officials accountable too, because they're the ones that are enabling the behavior.
Well, Silver, we both sat here and said it at the time, wasn't enough.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand, though. The NBA had already set a precedent in how they dealt with Gilbert Arenas a little over a decade ago with what he did, bringing firearms to the facility. They suspended him for the entire season. It ended up being 50 games.
But who was that at the time?
That was David Stern.
Exactly.
Yeah, but here's my point, though. The league had established a precedent. We're not going to play around with these guns. And quite frankly, guns are not something that you play around with. You shouldn't be waving a gun in a nightclub on IG Live. You shouldn't be waving a gun in the car with your homeboy riding down the street. You just shouldn't. And oh, by the way, Devontae Pack, this homeboy of Ja Morant that's seemingly around all of these incidents, yeah, he needs to go away. He needs to go away. And if Ja Morant can't move on from him, if Ja Morant can't eliminate that guy from his inner circle, then all of a sudden we're having a much deeper conversation about how the Memphis Grizzlies chart a path forward with him.
Yeah, that's the question. Do they? I mean, it's not...
My point exactly.
It is not out of the realm of possibility that the Grizzlies, after this happens a second time like that, don't go to this guy and say, you know, this guy, whether it's Pack or yourself or whoever, you just cost yourself $40 million by not making all NBA.
Which is bizarre. But here's the thing, big fella, and I learned this through couples counseling with my wife. When you start having to issue ultimatums to the other party, the relationship is usually over.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part about where we are with Ja. But I feel like the Grizzlies are well within their rights to issue an ultimatum about Ja Morant and who he chooses to surround himself with.
Well, remember, this was Ja not too long ago.
I feel like in the past we didn't know what was at stake. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, finally me having that time to, you know, realize everything, have that time alone, I realize that now. I realize, you know, what I have to lose and, you know, for us as a group, what we have to lose. And it's pretty much just that, you know, being more responsible, more smarter, and staying away from, you know, all the bad decisions. Mm-hmm. When you see somebody about to make a bad decision, stop them.
That was March 15th with Jalen Rose.
You know what I learned right there from that soundbite? That Ja Morant is a good liar. He's a good liar. I know people don't like the word liar, but that's what he did. He sat there and lied to the reporter and to the rest of America in terms of him having some level of contrition for his behavior in that Denver nightclub. He's a good liar. So if you're the organization, that's what you're faced with. There are some serious character issues with Ja Morant. And I know that people are going to come down on, well, maybe there's something bigger at play. There's a mental health issue there. Or you might have disease that he's struggling with. It could potentially be alcoholism, substance abuse. People come up with all of the different reasons as to why he's behaving this way. But here's what you do when you bring those things up. You try to absolve the individual of being accountable for the behaviors. And quite frankly, big fella, when you play in professional sports, whether it's the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NFL, there are no shortage of resources that the team and the league will provide for you to get the necessary help that you need in order to become an individual. But it is your responsibility to take advantage of the resources that are in place.
Chris.
And clearly, Ja Morant failed to do that.
Nothing makes me angrier than when we start talking about behaviors being excused by disease, whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction, or
in this case, stress for Ja Morant.
Stress.
That's what he
mental
purported.
Mental health, whatever. Across the board. Doesn't matter. Whether it's here, it's mental health, whatever it is. You know, I've told you, I deal with mental health issues myself.
Yes.
My family, my wife, we've all dealt with mental health issues. The one thing to be clear about is this. Mental health issues don't ever excuse your behavior. Mm. And you are still accountable for whatever that behavior is. It is not a get out of whatever free card, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It is hey, I have to own up to that. That's part of the program for people who are in the programs. You have to own up and make amends for things that you do. So it really bothers me when we start getting into that. And as far as Ja Morant here and the Grizzlies, Chris, it's to me, we might be having to do this.
If $40 million doesn't change your behavior, if losing sponsorships and potentially jeopardizing those relationships with Nike and Powerade aren't big enough deterrents to change your behavior.
He just said, we understand now what's at stake. Do you?
Big fella. I was told once upon a time, the best apology is change behavior. This young man has not changed his behavior. Thereby, he is not sorry for anything that he has done.
Nope.
At some point as an organization, we have to consider what this guy doing jeopardizes what we're trying to build.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.